SBS Radio.
Now I'm joined over the phone by Matthew Karakulakis. Welcome to NITV Radio.
It's very pleasurable to be here, Bertrand. I'd like to give our acknowledgement in light of our discussion that we're going to be having today and pay our respects to the traditional owners of the land and our elders, past, present and future.
Yeah, I have to remind our listeners, you're the principal at AMK Law, a 100% Aboriginal legal firm in Melbourne. And this week, you co-wrote a legal publication, an article in the context of George Floyd's death, arguing that lawyers must be activists to help end black deaths in custody. We'll discuss that in a moment. But first, let's talk about Eddie Mabo, because this week was also Eddie Mabo Day, and I believe it's a very, very significant achievement that he achieved. Tell us, who was Eddie Mabo first?
Yes, and I'd also just love to be able to just explain to listeners that these topics and what we're going to be speaking about today is very significant for our whole Indigenous community and is quite an emotional topic for myself to be speaking about as well. There's been a lot of devastating effects in our families' lives, and there's been a lot of dire consequences for our First Nations peoples. So I'd just like to say that what I'm saying today is my opinion and my respectful views as a student and with my cultural learnings. But it's... aren't in a position to speak about these issues for the collective Indigenous community, but I appreciate the opportunity of sharing some insight. In terms of who was Eddie Mabo, Eddie Mabo is an absolute hero in my mind. I was very impressed when I heard about his case as a student at law school, and in my view, he's an absolute hero because Eddie Mabo was a man from the Torres Strait Islands, and he is known best for his feat in the Indigenous land rights, which were achieved through the key decision of the High Court in Australia in the Mabo case, which effectively overturned the legal doctrine of terra nullius. Terra nullius, in effect, means that land is owned by nobody. So Eddie Mabo was a true hero in helping develop the native title rights that we have in Australia today.
And what was achieved by the Mabo case in terms of reconciliation? Because this was also Reconciliation Week this week. A very, very important week in Aboriginal affairs right across the country.
It's an absolutely important week. I think that it would be fantastic if we got to the point of having Reconciliation Day each and every single day of the year. With that in mind and that said, I think it's also very well appreciated that we do have a week for the focus towards reconciliation. And the achievement of Eddie Mabo and the Mabo case in terms of reconciliation is very significant because what it did was advance the rights of Indigenous Australians, and it also, I think, in a big way, set the scene about the meaningful path that Indigenous heroes can have and the type of courage and resilience through that kind of bravery our Indigenous leaders and Indigenous heroes can really use to impact our community, and our First Nations people can really be driven by these kind of achievements.
And as an Indigenous man, how difficult is it for you, both personally and professionally as a lawyer, for so little to have been done regarding deaths in custody, either in terms of law reform or convictions against officers?
Well, Bertrand, it's very difficult. I think that's one of the reasons why I began our discussion speaking about this overall topic being very emotionally driven and difficult to speak about sometimes as well. But I think it's really important to bring some public awareness The 1991 Royal Commission revealed there'd been about 400 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples that were suffering from deaths in custody. And it's extremely alarming because there's never been any proper level of criminal responsibility that's been imposed despite this rate, which is about 15 deaths per year over the three decades. So the stories that are about the convictions and the deaths in custody absolutely impact our Indigenous families, and they have caused losses of lives within the entire Indigenous community on multi-generational levels. So it's very difficult for our First Nations peoples in losing loved ones, family members, and there really does need to be proper government accountability, which I think is at the heart of this cause.
Yeah. George Floyd's death in the US has brought this conversation back into the mainstream and under the spotlight. How best, in your opinion, can the Australian legal profession use its influence to actually advocate for change right now?
Well, yeah, the very last words of George Floyd were, "I can't breathe." And they were also some of the very last words that were spoken by Aboriginal man, Mr. Dungay, who died in Long Bay Prison. And I don't think enough people are aware of this. Our country was really founded on violence, massacres, and frontier wars that has caused a loss of culture, and there's been a loss of rights and devastating deaths to our Indigenous peoples and our ancestors. Our First Nations peoples' lives really do matter, and our history and the losses really need to be known, not only on a factual informative level, but at a real place of spirit and a place of really understanding through the attention and the lens of change that's really deserved. So hopefully, at a mainstream level, we can collectively fight against racism and bring to the forefront the justices that are deserved.
And on an individual level, I know you co-wrote an article that really explained this very, very well in a legal paper, and it's very well written in also in a layman's person. It's not legalese. But what can lawyers be doing to help bring about change, whether it be at a reform level or daily practice level?
Well, Bertrand, I think lawyers need to understand that we are in a very privileged position in terms of being able to cause impact, be the force for reform, and also engage in daily practices that really do make a difference. So as lawyers, we must proactively and collectively learn and better understand the privileges that we have and understand the position and standing that we are really placed in within our communities. I think that lawyers have particular knowledge, and through that knowledge comes the responsibility through the appropriate levels of the awareness and accountability that's required. Because, Bertrand, I think that through these mechanisms that the understanding and foresight can then bring change for the betterment and for the improvement and justice that's really required to help fight the battle against these injustices and these devastating losses that are imposed upon our First Nations peoples.
Yeah, Matthew Karakalakis, thank you very much for taking the time to enlighten us on these topics. But before I let you go, can you remind us of the title of that article you penned? Because I want to put it on our social media platforms and share it on our website so that people can go and read the detailed information you provide there.
Yeah, so the article was actually written by Jerome Derasami and through Lawyers Weekly, and the article is called "Lawyers Must Be Activists to Help End Black Deaths in Custody." I'm also going to share the article on my LinkedIn page, so if anyone wants to check it out, they'll be up there probably within the next hour or so.
Matthews, thank you so much, and have a great and safe weekend.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.